Today's Shiur Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top. The Brice that we're going to begin learning now discusses what is the halacha if a shor, if an animal that is owned by Yisoyimim Ketanim, what would be the halacha, or even not Ketanim, frankly, but Yisoyimim we know, often mentioned in our shiurim, Chazal were lenient in the obligations that Yisoyimim have to pay. So begins the Gemara Tanah Rabbanan Apotropos. We spoke in our previous shiur about the apotropsim who are designated to administer and see over the assets of Yisoyimim, Mishalmim and Aliyah. If there was a shor mu'ud under their care that did damage, the halacha is like every shor hamud, they would pay min aliyah. You pay the full value of the damage done, not just limited migufay like the halacha by a tam, which we discussed. The halacha of a tam is that the payments are limited to the value of the shor. However, ve'ei mishalmim kaifer. We know that the halacha is that if a shor kills a human being, Rachman Otzlan, you have to pay kaifer, as we'll see how we evaluate the kaifer. But the halacha is that you have to pay kaifer. That halacha would not apply here. However, the Yam Shashloima makes an interesting point. As we learned, really, in our previous year already, there are two situations of apotropos. Our Gemara has primarily been focused on a apotropos who's been appointed by Beis Din. Because, for example, as we learned, the individuals that we've been discussing now, Shurim, are individuals who are incapable of protecting their shor. So that's why they had to have an apotropos appointed. And our Gemara just teaches us, and we'll speak about this obviously much more in our shiur today, that kaifer doesn't have to be paid, but a kaifer does not have to be paid by such an apotropos. But what would be the halacha, says the Yam Shloima, if there was a apotropos who was appointed by the father himself? In the case where apotropos was appointed by the father himself, says the Yam Shloima, so such an apotropos, he says, is considered in halacha like a shomer. And the halacha is that a shomer does pay kaifer. Says the Gemara, man tana kufr kapara, who is the man damer? So when we speak about kaifer, we need to understand what is the purpose of the kaifer being paid. We could suggest that a kaifer, as the name actually implies, is to forgive for the terrible avera that this animal that somebody owns killed somebody. If that's the case, Yasmi lav b'dei kaparehu. That's why the Yisoyimim, who are Yisoyimim, Ketanim, Daloch is, they didn't do what we don't have any such issue with them. So I saw that the Shittim Kubetzes quotes the Raw that the apotropos, even if he was appointed by Beis Din, still, at the end of the day, did not protect this animal properly to the degree that it went and killed somebody. Why would the apotropos not be chayiv? So the Shita Mekubetzes, quoting the Raw, says that there's a very different perspective when we speak about paying for nezikim, the primary type of paying we speak about in Amasechta, versus paying kaifer. He says nezikin is a payment for the animal, for you causing a loss. So there, it doesn't make a difference who is the one that was responsible. At the end of the day, somebody owned something, and the asset that he owned caused damage. And if the asset that he owns caused damage, he will have the responsibility to pay for the damage. But the when we speak about Kaifer, no matter what we'll explain as we're getting into the Gemara, Kaifer is not a payment to pay back for the damage that was done. And therefore, it won't necessarily be the same. So our Gemara is learning that Kaifer is for Kapara, V'yisam elabnei Kapara ninhu. So as we're seeing, one nafkamina will be if Yisoymim, in this case, will there be a chiv to pay Kaifer. If, moreover, we speak about in our Masechta often the payment of Nezikin. And of course, if somebody's asset or himself caused damage, he's responsible to pay for the damage that he or his asset caused. But what would be the halacha if that person doesn't have any money? So the halacha discusses what does somebody have to do to pay if he can't afford to pay. Says the Shita that that's only a discussion when we speak about Nezikin. But when we speak about Kaifer, then the halacha would be different. But he says it depends. If Kaifer is for Kapara, so for Kapara, the obligations to pay for Kapara are very different than the obligations to pay for Nezikin. And a person has to do whatever he can to pay for the Kaifer. If it's Nezikin, if it's not Kapara, whoever the Avlach will be that by Nezikin will be by Kaifer as well. Another Nafkamina that Tais would suggest is what would happen if the Mazik died. If we'll say that Kaifer is a Kapara, so then his Yarshim will not have to pay that Kapara, because he already had the Kapara when he passed away. But if we're going to say that Kaifer is an obligation similar to Nezikin, so then the halacha will be that just like if he became obligated to pay Nezikin while he was alive, he has to, his Yerusha, his estate, will have to pay it. They'll have to pay Kaifer on that case as well. Another nafkamina, if you have only an eight echad to the event that is the reason why you're paying Kaifer. So if we'll say that Kaifer is for Kapara, so it could be to a Kapara, the testimony of an eight echad is sufficient. But if we're going to say Kaifer is mammon, it's a financial obligation, so it's no different than any other financial obligation in Shas, where whenever we speak about a financial obligation in Shas, the halacha is that you have to pay, that eight echad is not sufficient to make you have to pay. Amar of Chizda. So the Gemara says, who is the man, the Amar, that says that Kufr is Kapara? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Shmuel Benoy Shel Rabbi Yochanan Breikihi. The Tanya, the Pasuk that speaks about Kaifer, the Pasuk says, "Im Kaifer Yushus Olav, V'nosan Pidyon Nafshoi." The main Nizik, it's how do we make the assessment of how much Kaifer, the value of the Nizik. Rabbi Shmuel Benoy Shel Rabbi Yochanan Breikihi, the main Mazik. The evaluation is done by the value of the Mazik. So suggest the Gemara. My labakamifki, what is the machloikus? The rabbanan tzavri kufra mamoinuhu, that kufra is paid for a compensation. And therefore, how is the compensation assessed? By the value of the damage. And therefore, we go according to the value of the mazik. Amra papaloi. No. The kulama, everybody can agree, the kufra kapara. What is the machloikus? Rabbanan Savri, that the machloikus is a very simple machloikus, says Rapapa. The machloikus is, how did the Torah say Kaifer should be assessed? Rabbanan Savri, but the Nizik Shaminin, we look at the Nizik, that means everybody agrees that it's for Kapara. The question is, how does that Kapara get evaluated? My Tam Drabonon. Ask the Gemara. Drabonon say that we look at the value of the Nizik. So ask the Gemara, Why did I say that? So Rav Shmuel explains the Rashi is easy to understand. Because Rav Shmuel, as the Gemara just said, everybody is agreeing that Kufr is a kapara. And if Kufr is a kapara, who's the one that needs the kapara? The Mazik needs the kapara. It was his animal that killed somebody. Since it's the Mazik that needs to have the kapara, it's understandable why we make the evaluation of the kofer according to the value of the mazik. But the Rabbanon, who hold that the kofer, we're now saying, hold that kofer is a kapara, so why do we look at the nizik? My tam the Rabbanon, says the Gemara, nemra loshin shisulamatam, when the Torah speaks about an animal killing a person, I'm kofer yushas, as we began this discussion, the nemra and the Torah regarding a muad that killed the velodis, the children of a pregnant woman. The Torah uses also that word shisa. The Torah says kasha yashasalof, and says the Gemara Mala Halon, when the Torah speaks about assessing the value of those children that were unfortunately killed, we do that evaluation with the nizik according to the value of the nizik, says the Gemara Afkan. Here too, the evaluation is done by the value of the nizik. Rishmol, says the Gemara, Rishmol, Benoish, Rabbi Yochanan, Brachas Sofer, the Nosson, who holds that we do the evaluation according to the value of the mazik, say, the Pasuk says, V'nosson, Pedya, Nafshik, Siv, Nafshoy means the value of the mazik. Rabbanan, in. The Vada, what is the purpose of the koifer? It's to achieve pidyon nafshik siv. It's to achieve a kapara. That doesn't change the requirement or the way that kapara is achieved. Miu ki shaminin, but the nizik shaminin. Meshavach le'ravel Rav Nachman Rabbi Yaakov the Adam Godelhu. He was praising Rav Nachman Yaakov that he was a great person. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, l'chshavel yotcha, when he comes to you, have yel yadi. Bring him to me. I'd like to have the opportunity to meet him. So when Rav Acha came to Rav Nachman, Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rav Acha, Boy Minei Milsa, ask of me a question. Boy Minei, so Rav Acha asked Rav Nachman, who Rav was saying was such a great person, the Shor Shoshay Shotvim. If you have an animal that was owned by two people, Ketzed Mishalmim, Kaifer. How do we evaluate the kaifer? So as the Rashba says, when we're speaking about any nezek payment, so it's obvious that we divide it between the two partners. The question here is, when we're paying kaifer, and since we're paying kaifer, and we're learning now in our Gemara, the purpose of kaifer is to bring a kapara to the person whose animal killed someone. So not paying the full amount of kaifer perhaps won't bring you that kapara, even though you are only half, you only own half the animal, says the Gemara. And the Gemara elaborates on this question. Do we say, Misham hay kaifer, v'hay kaifer? Should we say that each one should pay a full kaifer, given the explanation that we just gave, because each one of them needs a kaifer? But ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that? Kaifer echra merachamana, v'leishnei kaifrim. The Torah said we pay one kaifer, not two kaifers. On the other hand, are you going to suggest that high chatzi kaifer, v'hay chatzi kaifer, that each one should pay a half a kaifer? Ask the Gemara, but the Torah says, kaifer shalma rachmana. The kaifer is paid by paying the whole kaifer, v'loi chatzi kaifer, and not paying a half a kaifer. So I saw that the Rishonim point out, even though we're having a discussion in our Gemara about a kaifer payment that was caused by two partners' asset, the Rishonim point out, what would happen if two partners are partners in a situation of a karmichatis? For example, as we learn in Masechta Shabbos, if two people carried something out on Shabbos, and they carried it in a way that you need two people to carry this object. Since you need two people to carry this object, so each one of them will be chayiv. But it was only carried out by two people. So everybody agrees that there is no question that each, if it was done b'shoigig, they would each be chayiv a carbon chatos. And actually, I saw that the Rishonim explain on a number of levels. Each, if chas v'sholem, this avera had been done b'mezid, the halacha would be that each one of them would have to pay, each one of them would be chayiv misa. The chiv carbon chatos b'shoigig travels together with the chiv misa b'mezid. So since over here it would be a chiv misa b'mezid, there's a chiv carbon chatos. Moreover, the simple pshat that I saw the Rishonim say is because a carbon can't be divided into two. It's either my carbon or your carbon. Money is the easiest thing, obviously, to divide. And if money is the easiest thing to divide, therefore, we maybe should say that koifuf, which is a monetary payment, should be divided. So the Rishonim Tosfos, the Ramaskal Koifer, asks another question. We're going to be having discussion in our Gemara, extensive discussions in our Gemara Mitzvashem. We know the halacha of Koifer, that if a muad kills a person, the obligation is to pay Koifer Shalim. What would be if a tam kills a person? Is there an obligation to pay Chatzi Koifer? What about if a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chayrin was killed? Do you pay Chatzi Koifer? So the question is, we see that there are situations where you pay Chatzi Koifer. So why in our Gemara does Tosfos ask, does the Gemara feel bothered that there should be paying only Chatzi Koifer? So Tosfos answers that there's a very fundamental difference. In the case that we just mentioned, the obligation from the outset for what happened over here, if a tam killed, according to Rabbi Glili, we're going to learn the obligation is only to pay Chatzi Koifer. However, says Tais, that was from the outset the entire obligation. However, points out Taisfus, in the case of the two Shutfim that own a Muad, of course the obligation is to pay Koifer Shalom. Now we have a new issue that the animal is owned by two people. And since the animal is owned by two people, so things may be different. That's very different than everything we've been learning until now. And therefore suggests Tosfos that even though there are cases that they're going to be tanoim in our sugyas that are clearly going to indicate that you only pay Chatzi Koifer, that's because there was never more of than a Chatzi Koifer obligation. Our Gemara is very different. Says the Gemara, Adi Yosef Kamin Aimba, as long as Rabbi Nachman was asked this question, he's trying to come up with an answer. Amalei, so Rav Acha asked him another question. Tanan, the Mishnah Masecht Erchin says Chayv Erchin Mashkin. I say somebody who said the Torah Gdoisha in Parshas Bechukosai introduces the Parsha of Erchin. The Parsha of Erchin is that every person, given their age and their gender, has a value, a prescribed value in the Torah. And if somebody says he's going to donate his erech, it doesn't necessarily have to be his erech. It could be the erech of somebody else. We take the formula that the Torah sets forth, and based on that formula that the Torah sets forth, that's what you will have to pay. If this person took upon himself that he's going to pay whatever erech, and then He's not paying up his pledge. So the Mishnah in Masecht Erchin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph teaches us Chayv Erchin the Mashkin. I say we could take a Mashkin from him until a pay up. However, Chayv Chatis Vashamis Eim a Mashkin. I say there we don't. And the difference is by a Erich, it's not an obligation that's paid because of it's a pledge, and people, of course, incorrectly, sometimes don't pay their pledges. And that's when the Beis Din has to get involved to get the pledge paid. Korban Chatos is brought for kapara. Korban Ashram is brought for kapara. And since a person is going to have a kapara through this carbon, we don't need to be concerned that everybody wants a kapara, and we need not be concerned that they won't bring the carbon that they're obligated to bring. So he now asked them, Chayve Kufrin, the person who's Chayve Kufrin from our sugya, Mai, what would be the halacha in such a situation? Says the Gemara, Kivin the kapara hu, do we say that since this is a kapara, so it's kachatz v'ashem dami, the halacha treats it like kachatz v'ashem, and machma chumrele, people take this obligation very seriously, and we don't have to take a mashkin from him, and we can be confident that he'll pay it. Adama, kivin v'chavru hu the boy ma'aswalei, kaifer is not given to the Beis HaMikdash. Kaifer is given to the person, the victim, and v'loy l'gvoya, who it's not given, it's not brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Remainahu, so people look at it like a bill, and some people are not great about paying bills. V'loy chomorolei, and therefore they don't take it with the proper seriousness, v'boy mishkunei. Inami, kivin delu l'chata, people look at a karmen chattas and ashram differently. Because the karmen chattas and ashram are brought because somebody himself did an aveira. Here, kaifer is paid because b'maynehu da azik. It was his property that did damage. And therefore, lechama milsolei, people don't take it so seriously. And since they don't take it so seriously, lechama milsolei, or by mishkanei, if we see that he's not paying, the halach is that we want, then the halach is that we have to take a mashkin. Amalei, so Rav Nachman says to Rav Acha, Shafkin, please leave me alone. Iska b'kamaisa. You asked me the first question, the question about two shutfim, which I haven't successfully come up with an answer. I don't need another answer. Says the Meiri, that even if we'll say that we take a mashkin for kaifer, says the Meiri very bechiddush, that the only bezdin that could take a mashkin for kaif for any time is only the bezdin Shebi Yerushalayim would take mashkin for a kaifer. But the bezdin, the various batei dinim they had in the different cities in Eretz Yisrael, would not take a mashkin for kaifer. And he has a very interesting approach why. He says, the bezdin in Yerushalayim, the bezdin HaGadol, if they don't pay the kaifer, if they won't have the kaifer paid, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel will go after them. And therefore, they have the greater obligation to make sure to see that the kaifer is paid. But the various individual batei dinim don't carry that level of responsibility, and therefore they aren't certainly entitled, a very bechiddush in the Meiri, that they certainly would not be entitled to collect the kaifer. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Shaul bet cheskes tam, an animal was borrowed under the assumption that it's a tam. And then it turns out that the animal is a mu'ud. Baal mesham chatzi nezek, and now this animal did damage. And we know a mu'ud pays nezek shalom. So how do we divide this payment? So says the Gemara, Baal Misham Chatzi Nezek, since the borrower wasn't aware that it's a tam, that it's a mu'ud, so the second half of the Chatzi Nezek he doesn't have to pay, because he didn't know that. The Shoyel and the person who borrowed the animal, Misham Chatzi Nezek. Another question, who would be Bei Shoyel? The animal became a mu'ud while it was under the care of the Shoyel. And now Zir Labalim. And now the animal was returned to the owners. And it did damage. Baal Misham Chatzi Nezek. So the Braisa says that the owner pays Chatzi Nezek. V'shoyel Potter Meklum. Because we have a Rishus Mishana. It changed ownership. A subject that we learned and we're going to learn now again. And the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. Amar Ma'ashal B'cheskes Tam. If the animal was borrowed with the assumption that it's a Tam. But then the nimtzabud and turns out that it's a mood. Bam misham chatzin nezek. The shoyl pays chatzin nezek. But ask the Gemara, why would the shoyl have to pay anything? when he didn't know that the animal he borrowed was a mu'ud? Lemele, why can't he say to the owner, Tulish Ili, I only borrowed an animal. I thought the animal I borrowed was a regular, normal animal. Aye, Lashili, I never assumed that I'm borrowing a lion, a dangerous animal. Amarav, says the Gemara, Hachem Ma'iskinen, you're right. The Shoyl, says the Gemara, has legitimate complaint. But Hachem Ma'iskinen, it's not as simple as it seems, because the animal that was borrowed, Shekabai Shunachan, everyone is aware that this animal is a dangerous animal, and you can't just say, well, I didn't think I have a problem here. But ask the Gemara, for Neimalei, why can't the Shoyl say to the owner, Tam Shili, Mud Lashili, I only had intention to borrow a Tam and not a Mud. So there's different levels of obligation to how you have to watch a Tam and a Mud. Meaning, without going into the discussion that we had and will have, the Machlokes Tanoim, what is the level of Shmira? But certainly a person who knows that he has a mu'ud in his possession knows that he has to be much more concerned and careful versus if he only has a tam. Answers the Gemara, B'shem D'Amalei, the owners could say to him, Saif Saif, if tam have a. At the end of the day, if the animal was a tam, as you think, you would have to pay chatzi nezik. So now, even though you weren't aware, Ashtanami zil shlim pal gneska, but ask the Gemara, says the Shoyl, okay, I can never get out of paying chatzi nezik. But why can't he say itam have a mishtal magufa? If the animal was a tam, I would be able to pay from the value of the animal. I would be capped at that obligation. And says the Gemara, for that the owner could say to him mishum de amalei. The owner could say to him, Saif Saif at Lai Tara Boy Shlumi Lidadi, even if they're going to take it Migufai, you have to pay back the animal. The owner, you are a person that borrowed an animal. So even if we're going to be capped Migufai, you have to give back the Gufai. You have to give back the animal that you borrowed. So even if the animal turns out to be a Mu'ud, you can't say, well, I didn't know it was a Tam. But you have to return the animal anyway, which is the gufoy. V'neimalei, so ask the Gemara. And indeed, says Taisvis the Remaskalav, if the value of the chatzi nezek will be greater than the value of the animal, then the halacha is that he would only have to pay that much, not more than the value. It's capped at the value of the animal, because that's all he has to return to the owner. Ask the Gemara, v'neimalei, why can't the person who borrowed the animal say to the owner, im tam hava, if the animal was a tam, maidina miftarina, I could be maida b'knas. And we know that the halacha is that chatzi nezek, as we discussed previously in our masechta, is halachically considered a knas. And since it's halachically considered a knas, there's halacha, a mum b'knas, maida b'knas is potter. So if it's a tam, I could have used that method. And even if we follow the opinion that we learned earlier in our Masechta, the Palganiska Mamayna, and we don't have the concept of Maida B'Knas, namely, why can't he say, Itam Hava, if the animal was a Tam, Havam Rikna La Agba, I would have concealed the animal. And since you only collect Migufai, so if you can't find the animal, there's nowhere to collect the damages from. Says the Gemara, that is a fair point. I asked the Rajba, what do you mean he would have concealed the animal? Ultimately, he's going to have to take the animal out. So what does it mean? He can't keep it there forever. So the Rajba says, what he meant to say was, I'll conceal it, kill it, eat up the meat, and you'll have nowhere to collect from. Says the Gemara, Bezdin seized it. So he can't say anymore, I would have spirited it away. Ask the Gemara, if this becomes a real new halacha, that if Bezdin seizes the animal, then ask the Gemara, that if Bezdin seized the animal, he has no way out from paying, so why would the owner have to pay the other chatzin ezek? Namely, Why can't the owner say to the shoyil, at fastela tur biyad the mandala mitzina l'shtinu ba'adei? You caused that my animal should be seized by Bezdin, and my animal being seized by Bezdin puts me into a situation where I'll never be able to get back the animal. You should have done a better job of not letting Bezdin get their hands on this animal. Answers the Gemara, Mishum the Amalei, because the Shoyal could say to the owner, Yehadrich Nilach, Lav Menach Shekelei, what did you want? I should return it to you? So they would have taken it from you. The Namalei, so why can't the owner say to the Shoyal, Yehadrich Nilach, if you would have given it back to me, have him written in Lagma, I would have taken it I would have concealed it. I would have done a good job of making sure that Bezdin shouldn't get their hands on it. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Damalei, because then the Shoyal could say to the owner, Saif, Saif, Lab Meliyah Mishtami, but you know that this animal was a Mu'ud. So you're paying me Aliyah. And since you're paying me Aliyah, you pay from all of your assets. Hiding the animal wouldn't help you. So says the Gemara, as we discussed earlier, Shir, that would be a legitimate response from the shoyal to the owner if the owner has different assets. So the shoyal was saying you wouldn't have benefited by hiding the animal because they would go after your other assets. But I asked the Gemara, if he has no other assets, what are we going to say under those circumstances? Hiding the animal wouldn't have helped him any because they could go after any of his assets if it's a mu'ud. Mishum Damalei says the shoyal to the owner, Keichnim Mishtab Dalindach, just like I have to return your animal, Hachnam Mishtabin Elahaych, I'm also obligated to pay the person, the victim, Reb Nosson. And this is taught from what Reb Nosson teaches us. The Tanya Reb Nosson Aymer, Menayin L'Noshim B'Chaveray, from where do I know that somebody owes me money? Mana. Somebody owes me $100. The chaveri b'chaveri. And I owe somebody else. Menayin shmetzim zeh. We go to my creditor, the person who owes me money, and we take the money and give it directly to the person whom I owe to. V'noyslam zeh. Tamalayim v'nosu shashalai. So what we say from here is, since you owe money to the nizik, and I owe money to the nizik, I'm taking the money to pay the nizik directly, and that's what Reb Nosson tells us. So first of all, the Rishonim teach us. From here we see that when we think throughout Shas about Shibudud Reb Nosson, we normally think about Shibudud Reb Nosson where, like I just described, somebody owes me money and I owe someone else money. Here we're saying that it's not only applied to a case of Hava, but it also applies to a situation of Pikadin or Nezakim. Moreover, says the Rashba, that this claim that the Shoyal is saying to the owner of the animal, well, I now have a Sheba to you, and you have a Sheba to the Nizik as well, is only applicable in the case that our Gemara is discussing. The case that our Gemara is discussing is where the owner of the animal has no other assets. If he has other assets, that means if I owe somebody money, and if somebody owes me money and I owe somebody else money, and I have from where else to pay that debt, then we don't say Shibudud Reb Nosson. So Tosfos asks the question. Our Gemara has been teaching us that the Shoyal, the owner of the animal, could have perhaps avoided paying by concealing the animal. So the question is, that's not the right thing to do. If your animal did damage, you're obligated to pay. So what is the Gemara saying? Well, I could have done the wrong thing, and if I would have done the wrong thing, then I would have been able not to pay. The halacha is, so we see from here, and the Trumas Hadeshin makes this point, that even though Midaraisa, I'm obligated to pay, as we just obviously learned, the halacha still says the Trumas Hadashin is that if I have the means of avoiding paying, if I have the means of avoiding paying than the person to the halachic means of avoiding paying. The halacha says, under such circumstances, that the party who I owe the money to should come to some sort of an arrangement with me. Of course, says, that's what the Truma Sadashin says, but the based on Taisus, but the Truma Sadashin says that this is unacceptable. And a person should not act that way. And it's interesting, we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Chayshim Isbid, Simen Yud Bei Sivov. Misha Tavim Bei Mamon Shum Mokhsuk Bei. If somebody has a claim of money that I'm holding on to, says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not allowed to come up with different methods from avoiding money, paying what I'm obligated to pay. I'm not allowed to come up with different ploys that the other person should have no choice but to come to some sort of arrangement with me. Says the Ramah. If somebody did this, he used the different methods to avoid paying what he's obligated to pay, and therefore the other side had a compromise, says the Ramah, you're not doing what Hashem wants of you, until you pay what the halacha obligates you to pay. And the Shvus Yaakov, in the Shas of Shvus Yaakov, Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Samach Gimel, says, of course, a person is not allowed to do something which is improper just to get out of paying. He says that our Gemara is only referring to a situation where, which is not the Pasha Pshat, where the animal would have gone into hiding on its own. But that a person on his own should put the animal in a place, to put the animal in a place where he's not, where he would be using that method to avoid doing what the halacha wants him to do, totally unacceptable. So the Chashuki Chemed has interesting discussion. Our Gemara has been discussing a situation where somebody borrowed an animal, not knowing the status of this animal, not being aware that actually this animal is a mu'ud. He thought it's a tam. So he discusses a question where somebody borrowed a car, and he parked the car, and then he sees that somebody had done damage to the car. So the question is, so he goes to the person from whom he borrowed the car and says, it was certainly an accident. I did not in any way do this on purpose, and the insurance will pay. And the person who he borrowed the car from says, well, I don't have insurance for such a occurrence. So can the person who borrowed the car say, well, I was certain that you have insurance. If I would have known that you don't have insurance, I would have never borrowed this car. What would be the halacha? So he says that it really depends. He says, if most people have insurance, it's safe assumption that this car had that insurance, and he could say, well, I borrowed the car under that under the bad assumption. And he quotes that Al Gemara, where somebody borrowed an animal he assumed doesn't do damage. We look through Al Gemara said that he knew that the animal's a nachin. If he didn't know that the animal is a nachin, then the halach is that he wouldn't be held responsible. And therefore, in this case as well, says the Chashuki Chemed, you should not be held responsible if most people have insurance. However, it really touches a much more fundamental question. The question that we have to analyze, which is not our sugya, what does Kabbalah Shmira mean? When I took on the obligation to watch something that belongs to someone else, what does that level of obligation bring with it? We learned in the Braisa, who the Beis HaShoyal, if the animal became a mu'ud under the shoyl's care, and then v'chzir lebalim, he returns the animal to the owner. The halach is balim b'shal mechatzi nezek v'shoyl potem miklum. Ask the Gemara, sefer, what's, so ask the Gemara, because it went back, it changed hands from the shoyl to the owner, we say rishus mishana, and that changes the status, we go back to being a tam. But the resha, which says that if the animal he borrowed was a mu'ud, now I, the shoyl, find myself with a mu'ud, we don't say that the rishus mishana, that it changed hands from the owner to me. So isn't this a stira? Amar Rav Yochanan, indeed. Tavra, we have to break this brisa, separate the brisa into two. Misha shana zu, the resha is obviously the opinion, the rishus ain't a mishana, and the safest of the opinion, loishana zu, the rishus mishana. Rav Amar, Rav says that that's a very difficult approach. To have one brisa have this different approach about rishus mishana. And therefore says Rav Amar mid the resha, rishus ain't a mishana, if the opinion of the resha is that rishus ain't a mishana, sefer nami rishus ain't a mishana, says the Gemara, sefer anatama. So why when the shoyl returns the animal to the owner, do we say that he's not going to be held responsible? Shem Damalei, the ba only could say to the shoyl, laf kol kminach, the miyatzel turai. I lent you an animal, but I didn't lend you an animal that you could turn it into a mu'ud. Rapap Amar, mid the seif rishus mishana, we have to explain if the seif holds rishus mishana, reisha nami holds rishus mishana. So if that's the case, why when the animal went from the owner to the shoyl, does it not lose its status of being a mu'ud? V'reisha ha'inatama, b'shun dekom makum shaholich, shem ba'al of imay. When somebody borrows an animal, it doesn't become his. He borrowed the animal, it doesn't become his. When do we apply the concept of Rishus Mishana? We only apply the Rishus Mishana when it changes hands completely. Here, when somebody just borrowed the animal, even if you hold Rishus Mishana, you wouldn't apply it here. The Rambam paskins that we paskin Rishus Mishana. We've also learned many times early in our Masechta, going back to Daf Lamed Gimel, the machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that when an animal does damage, when a tam does damage, so we learned that the nizik becomes a partner in that animal that did damage to him. So the Brisker Rav asked, if that's the halacha as Rabbi Akiva says, how can we ever have a case that an animal should become a mu'ud? Every time the animal does damage, so the ownership of the animal changed. Till now, it was owned alone by the mazik. According to Rabbi Akiva, now the nizik becomes a partner in it. If the nizik becomes a partner in it, so then it's not the same ownership. And we're learning now that everybody agrees, if you hold Rishus Mishana, that if the ownership changes, everything changes. So the Birkas Avram, to answer this question, quotes on the Muki Yosef. He says, what is the svara of Rishus Mishana? Where the owner says, had I had the animal, then I would have made sure it should not become a mu'ud. And that's why when I get back the animal, when I get the animal and I buy the animal should go back to being a tam. Says the Nemuki Yosef, if the animal is transferred back to, if you had an animal that was sold, an animal that was a mu'ud that was sold, we say becomes a tam. What happens if the person that bought it sold it back to the original owner? Then he says, even if you hold Rishus Mishana, since the original owner had it and made it into mu'ud, we wouldn't say Rishus Mishana. So, explains the Birkas Avram. The way we're going to explain the Gemara according to Rishus Mishana, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that yes, we know that Rabbi Akiva holds that the Mazik and the Nizik become partners in the animal that did damage. But let's say the Mazik chooses, even according to Rabbi Akiva, to pay with cash for that damage. So then the nizik doesn't take the animal. So that means the owner of the animal at the whole time is just the same owner. And if that owner didn't watch the animal properly, so it's like the owner always getting it back when he paid the cash and kept the animal. And the Mukhi Yosef says if the owner gets the animal back, the halacha is that we don't say Rishus Mishana. So I saw that the Mefarshim make an incredible point here. We have an animal. We have an animal that is a mu'ud. Rishus Mishana teaches us that if this animal changes ownership, then we say that this animal is no longer a mu'ud. We see from here, I saw, that everything that we own, is affected by who we are. We could make a strong argument that why would we talk about this animal based on the ownership? From here we see that everything we own is influenced by us. We learned in the Mishnah, Sharat Stadin, if an animal was trained to get into bullfight, as we explained, and kill somebody in a Chai Misa, because the Mishnah said, Kiigach, if the animal does damage on its own, V'loy Sheg Yichua, not that it did damage because it was trained to do damage. Ibayluhu, what about such an animal could be brought on the Mizbeach? Rav HaMakosher, Rav says, yes, Shmuel HaMakosher. Rav HaMakosher, Onesu, it killed because of the training, and therefore it's allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. V'Shmuel HaMakosher, Harei never by Avera, it was used to kill somebody. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Pasuk says in Parshas V'Yikra, Min HaBehemim, Min HaBokim, Min HaTzoyim, Takrivu Es Kabonchem. Says the Gemara, we learn from the word min, only certain animals may be brought, not all. Min HaBehem Loitzes Arayvus and Nirva, if they were participating in such an act. Min HaBokar Lahoitzi HaNeved, an animal that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah. Min HaTzoyim Lahoitzi Samuksa, an animal that was designated for Avodah Zarah. Umin HaTzoyim, the extra Vav, Lahoitzi HaSanageach, an animal that killed somebody. Amar Rav Shimon, ask the Gemara, Im Nemar Reveya, if a Reveya can't be used for carbon, Lama Nemar Negeach, V'Nemar Negeach, Loi Nemar Reveya. In other words, both of these are situations where the animal did something for which they have to be put to death. So why do we have to have two psukim to teach us the same halacha? Answer the Gemara, Mnei Sheyesh Reveya Shem B'Negeach, there are certain characteristics that happen by an animal that participated in Reveya that isn't by an animal that's Negeach. V'yesh B'Negeach Shem B'Reveya. Reveya, also by Onis Karotzen. Reveya, even the animal didn't on its own do this Aveira, the halacha is considered still a Reveya. Negeach, but a Loyas Ba'inus Karotzen. The halacha, of course, is that an animal has to have wanted to do the damage. The Negeach Mishalm Kaifer, Reveya in Mishalm Sakaifer. The Fikach says Rav Shimon, Hutzuchlem Reveya, Hutzuchlem Negeach, we have to have two psukim. However, points out the Gemara Ketanimius, Reveya Asaba Ainus Karotzen, Negeach Loyas Ba'inus Karotzen. What does that mean? That an animal that killed somebody Ba'inus doesn't have the same halacha, Lamai Hechsa, Lav lekarbon. Isn't it coming to teach us that such an animal may be brought as a carbon if it did not intentionally do damage? Says the Gemara, loy. It's referring to the halacha that the animal that did an avera has to be killed. So if an animal participated in reviya, even if it was ba'onus, it had nothing to do with the animal, the halacha will be that you'll have to kill the animal. Whereas if an animal killed someone, you don't have to kill that animal if it did not do it Baratzen. And says the Gemara, Hachinami Mestabra, that's what's meant to teach us. The animal, the carbon, and we're going to say the carbon, and we're saying Negeach, Loi Os Ba'onis Karotzen, and that Torah will say that if it did it Ba'onis, it can be brought as a carbon. Says the Gemara, Lav Oinis Adeksiv, Loi Rotzen Adeksiv. The Torah doesn't speak about an animal being kosher for carbon if it did this Oinis Baratzen. Elalav, what must Zachar of Shimon say that that's the halacha? Elav, it's talking about Lektala. Amar Mar, says the Gemara, we learned Negech Mishalch Sekaifer, Revei Ere Mishalm Sekaifer. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Dami, what was meant? Ilema, the Rav of a Katla, that because you did the Revia, the woman who participated died. Mali Katla B'Kan, Mali Katla B'Revia. Why should there not be a Chiv of paying Kaifer? El the Rava V'loi Katla. Says the Gemara, so then Haidla Misham Kaifer is because of the Mulav K'talahu. The only time you pay Kaifer is when the animal kills somebody. Says the Gemara, Amma B'Eloim, the Rava V'loi Katla. The Sula B'Din of a Katlua. What happened was that they brought the woman to Beis Din, and they said that she did this Aveira, and because she did this Aveira, they sentenced her to death. Ma'adu Tema, command the Katla Dami. Maybe the halacha should view this situation as if the animal killed someone, because this woman was ultimately killed because of something she did with the animal. Kamash Malan. Rav Amma, Loilam de Rav of a Katla. Through the act of Revia, the woman died. I the Kashloch, Mali Katla B'Kanai, Mali Katla B'Revia. If that's the case, of course they're going to have to pay Kaifer. She caused the person to die. Says the Gemara, when does the Torah say that Yechayiv Kaifer? By Keren. And as we've been learning from the beginning of Masechta, the definition of Keren is Kavanosa Lahazik. However, Hai, when Revia, Kavanosa Lahaz Nos Atmahu, and therefore there's no Chayiv Kaifer. Says the Gemara, B'mai Pligi, what is the basis of the Machlokes? B'regel Shadars Al Gabatinik B'chatzo Nizik. If an animal killed somebody through regal, the baya, as long as the animal killed somebody, there's a chiyuv kaifer. And if that would be the case, the so too would be an halacha if it killed a woman through revia. Lebaya misham kaifer, lerava le misham kaifer, because kaifer is only by Karen. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav, says the Gemara, there's a brisa that supports the opinion of Rav regarding our original question, what is the status of a shor at staden for a carbon? Shor at staden enichai misa, the kosher, the gabim mizbeach, neish kumusa. The halacha views this as if it was forced, as if it was forced to do this, and therefore the halacha is that it can be brought as a carbon. I saw a very interesting approach from the Beis Oitzer, from Yosef Engel, in this machloikus of Rav and Shmuel. His approach is, can we attribute an aveira to an animal? If we could attribute an aveira to an animal, then the halacha is then the animal will not be able to be brought as a carbon. Or do we say an animal is not of intellect and can't be chayiv? Another way of explaining this Gemara I saw from the Chabina Rav is this machloikis, is certainly an animal that did such an act is an oinus. And there's a question in halacha when we have a situation of an oinus. How does the halacha look at the situation of an oinus? Does the halacha look at the situation of an oinus as an aveira that was done, albeit not on the same level as an aveira that was done willingly, or does the halacha look at an aveira that was done by oinus as not an aveira at all? And that will be the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that this animal didn't do the aveira on its own in any way, and therefore it's not considered a bal aveira, that it can't be used as a carbon. Shmuel says that even though the animal was an oinus, still an oinus is still considered an aveira, and since an oinus is still considered an aveira, the halacha will be that it should not be used for carbon.